Hello and welcome to the EMG Health Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. I'm going to apologize up front if my voice doesn't sound its usual vibrant self, but I've been a little bit under the weather, should we say, and it's affected my voice. But I'll do my best to get through this. You know, I've stated on this podcast that I always try to have an open mind to new ideas while keeping that foundation of medical practice, primum non nocere, firstly do no harm, in my mind. The subject of today's podcast, ayahuasca, was until very recently something I knew absolutely nothing about, and I had no desire to learn about it because, to my mind, it belonged with all the other illicit drugs. Well, first one person, very dear to me, then another, told me that taking this treatment had changed their lives. And, well, I guess that inspired me to try and learn about it. These are not crazy people, recreational drug users. These were health-conscious, smart, high achievers. One of them was going through some tough life challenges, and he told me that this was an epiphany. So I promised myself that I would do some reading, and I promised my friends, and I invite you to come along with me on my journey into the humid forests of South America, to some high-priced retreats in Peru and beyond, and let's see what I found out. First, the word ayahuasca is Spanish and derives from the Quechua language from Peru, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, and Ecuador, and it's composed of aya, meaning spirit ancestor, and huasca, meaning vine. Ayahuasca is a plant-based psychedelic, usually but not always delivered as a brew, a tea made from the leaves of two plants. The Psychotria viridis shrub, along with the stalks of the Banisteriopsis capi vine. You'll see why that combination is important. The hallucinogenic concoction has a long history among American indigenous communities who classically used it and the effects it caused for religious purposes. Ayahuasca is prepared by repeatedly boiling leaves in water to create a reddish-brown concentrated liquid which has a strong taste and smell, often described as complex and bitter or foul. A nice pot of Earl Grey, this is not. In 1851, Richard Spruce, an English botanist, what a great name for a botanist, I think that's called nominative determinism, where your name basically determines what you become. Anyway, Richard Spruce came across ayahuasca in South America, and as news spread about the mind-bending effects, medical tourists, if you will, flocked to Peru and other South American countries looking for this special tea. And of course, nowadays, with social media and celebrity advocates maintaining that the drink has changed their lives, demands for ayahuasca retreats has snowballed. Actually, snowballs, probably not an image one usually relates to tropical zones. The active chemical in ayahuasca is something called dimethyltryptamine, or DMT, which is a powerful hallucinogenic with strong psychoactive properties. The core element, DMT, has also been used recreationally around the world as an illegal street drug. However, DMT as a drug has low bioavailability. The reason for that is it's rapidly broken down by monoamine oxidase enzymes in the liver and GI tract. Remember, there are classic antidepressant drugs that interfere with those enzymes, the MAO inhibitors, the monoamine oxidase inhibitors. In ayahuasca tea, the DMT comes from the Psychotria viridis shrub. And in a fascinating bit of herbal medical formulation, and because of the Banisteriopsis capi vine component, ayahuasca as a tea also contains naturally occurring MAO inhibitors, and these are also, of course, providing a therapeutic effect to prevent panic disorders and social phobias, although, as we'll see, sometimes it doesn't quite come across like that. So, when combined, these two plants create a powerful psychedelic tea that profoundly affects the central nervous system. The result can be an altered state of consciousness that may include hallucinations and out-of-body experiences, and the effects might be long-lasting and maybe life-changing in a good way, or not. As I've said, ayahuasca was traditionally used for religious and spiritual purposes by specific populations, but it's become incredibly popular among those who are looking for ways to open their minds, heal from past traumas, or simply experience something new or fun. I don't think anyone who knows me would say that I'm terribly trendy, and I'm certainly not a part of the counterculture, not even sure it's even called that anymore. But I personally know three people who have, as I've said, done the journey, so it must be becoming more prominent. Bear in mind, in most countries of the world, this is illegal, and so a myriad of tours have popped up where you can get the ayahuasca experience, plus some yoga, meditation, a colon cleanse, and a rainforest retreat, all for £5,000. I know I'm being a little bit flippant, but on a serious note for a second, my colleagues listening need to learn about this, because sooner or later your patients or friends will ask you about this and you need to have some facts at your fingertips. And for any non-medical folks listening, you need to get all the facts. There are no free lunches in this world, or even free cups of tea. So let's look at the potential benefits of this rather interesting approach. First, as with any interventional, conventional, or kind of out there, results vary. Some are amazing, some nothing, others awful. More of that shortly. Look, there is some research to suggest that ayahuasca may have potential benefits for brain health, just like alcohol might impede atherosclerosis or cannabis address PTSD. Those compounds might also cause liver failure and psychosis. So just to restate, ayahuasca contains MAO inhibitors of the beta-carboline class, and these, together with DMT, may have neuroprotective and neurorestorative properties. For instance, DMT activates a protein that blocks neurodegeneration and regulates the production of antioxidant compounds, potentially increasing cell survival. And the main beta-carboline in ayahuasca is called harramine, may have anti-inflammatory, neuroprotective, and memory-boosting effects, and may increase brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. And that plays an important role in nerve cell growth and promotes nerve cell survival in some early studies. Finally, harramine has been seen to increase the growth of neural progenitor or early-stage cells. That could be a very good thing. Or it could be a very bad thing. We honestly don't know yet. Of course, anyone who's done any early stage medical research will tell you that they've seen cancer cured a thousandfold over in experimental animals. Let's be curious people, but let's be very measured in our curiosity. Advocates for ayahuasca will tell you that it increases their ability to be mindful. It diminishes PTSD. It improves a sense of well-being, it reduces depression and stress, helps with anxiety, and erodes reliance on addictive substances. But these claims have largely been apocryphal or based on small studies and merit better and tighter clinical work. I'm not being negative here, I'm being properly cautious. Believe me, if this stuff can truly help those suffering with serious mental illnesses like depression or addiction, I will shout it from the rooftops. Results from the Global Ayahuasca Project, it's a survey of over 700 people from 35 countries, maintain that around 85% of those consuming ayahuasca go on to make profound and positive life changes. But of course, any survey is only going to be completed by those who have something very positive or very negative to say. Any medical treatment that helps people and has zero side effects is not likely to be biologically active. So, no surprises, ayahuasca is not without risk. In fact, there have been deaths, particularly when the brew is not prepared correctly or the correct support and expertise is not present. Although there have been no deaths to my knowledge in any ayahuasca clinical trial, these have all been in retreats, if you will. As with many drugs, ayahuasca can interact dangerously with other medications, ranging from drugs used to control Parkinson's disease, antidepressants or other antipsychotic medication, and weight loss drugs, to name but a few. So a note of caution there also. And additionally, ayahuasca can increase heart rate and blood pressure, which could be dangerous for those with pre-existing heart conditions. Ayahuasca can also exacerbate underlying mental health conditions in some cases, such as people with schizophrenia, obviously a very important consideration. Most websites that offer ayahuasca retreats will tell people to prepare for the ceremony. It's always consumed as part of a greater event. Just like in Japan or Britain, drinking tea is an event. So the preparation includes abstaining from cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, sex, and caffeine to so-called purify their bodies. Other folks recommending eating a specific diet, such as vegetarian only for 2 to 4 weeks prior to the ceremony to free the body of toxins. I'm not entirely sure what they mean by that. The ayahuasca tea administration is usually supervised by an experienced shaman and in the company of trusted friends, as the altered state of consciousness can last for many hours. Think about it. Imagine you're thousands of miles from home, in the middle of nowhere, in the midst of hallucinations and surrounded by people you don't know. Does that sound good? And the negative side effects, such as diarrhea, vomiting, and panic attacks, although relatively short-lived, can be extremely intense and very harrowing. Most people report feeling effects within 20 to 60 minutes of consuming the tea, but the effects are highly unpredictable. The intensity of the effect depends on the dose and individual behaviors, but typically lasts for several hours and include strong visual and auditory hallucinations, maybe a sense of euphoria, maybe anxiety, panic, and paranoia. And as I've said before, vomiting and diarrhea, which are even promoted as being part of the cleansing process and an important part of the ritual. Ceremonies are sometimes held for a few consecutive nights. So let's say you go away for 8 days, you may do 3 or 4 ceremonies, with participants often reporting that they have differing experiences each time they consume the brew. However, there's no doubt that people are flocking to get this treatment. And as I said, there is some science suggesting benefits for some people beyond the stories. Right now, I'm not packing my bags for Peru, and any friends or patients who ask me, I'll tell them to do their own research, but I will watch this space carefully. Right now, I don't fancy a bout of diarrhea, vomiting, and altered mental state in the back of beyond. Until the data tells me that the vine of my ancestor spirits will make my life better. So folks, that's it for today. Please listen to all our archive podcasts and download us to get each new episode of the EMG Health Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. You know, I tried to find the Quechua way of saying this, but unfortunately I failed. So I'll stick with the English for now. Please stay safe, stay well, stay curious. Bye for now.